Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on the air with Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Looking forward to an exciting program today. Let me just simply say up front, we're going to be talking about the subject of King Cyrus, that is, biblical King Cyrus, President Donald Trump, and the new temple potentiality under the caption of what I simply want to call God's sovereign control of this old world. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not ideology, philosophy. It's not denominational distinctives. It's not the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It is simply what does the Word of God say. And so when we look at the Scripture, we understand that Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." And so we talk about issues based on a central biblicist viewpoint, and that means what does the Bible say? The Bible speaks, and that settles it. Whatever we're talking about, we need to look at the Word of God for our direction and what we're saying about a particular subject. Jesus had told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, I think that I need to set the stage before we get into the essence of what I'm wanting to talk about today in this dialogue and discussion, and I pray that you would join in if you'd like to ask questions or if you'd like to put in your thoughts. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your through to the microphone that we can have some discussion together. But ladies and gentlemen, many, many years now, biblical scholars have said, if you want to know where God's prophetic future is, if you want to know where God is going prophetically, look at God's prophetic time clock. And God's time clock, prophetically speaking, is the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. So therefore, we must keep our eye on the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Someone has said Israel is the centerpiece of all biblical prophecy. In fact, Israel is the hour hand and on the clock of the time, and Jerusalem is the minute hand. So as we have watched down through the past number of years, what I call the regathering of Israel from around the world, it became a nation May 14th, 1948, and the Jews before that had no homeland for over 2,500 years until 1948, May 14th. Israel has been a continuing, been faced with and involved in a continual war with the neighbors trying to destroy it since it became a nation. I've said for many years the most volatile 35 acres on earth, without any doubt, is the platform that's known as Jerusalem, on which the ancient temple, Solomon's temple, stood. The second temple, which was Zerubbabel, or some say Zerubbabel's temple, was on that same temple mount. And today it's in the hands of the Muslims, and the Muslim mosque is there. And that is the headquarters of what is called the Dome of the Rock. And it's on this same site where Solomon's temple once stood. Yet the scripture records that during the millennial reign, there will be a new temple having been rebuilt. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear in chapter 37. In fact, all of 37 is the prophetic text of the regathering of Israel. And that was fulfilled in May 14th, 1948. When Israel became a restored nation after being in diaspora, as some call it, that is dispersion around the globe for some 2,500 years. But ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of Ezekiel 37, where the prophetic text is talking about the regathering of the people of Israel, regathering the Jewish people and giving them a homeland, in that same text, the 26th verse, God says that I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. And so that is a future tense pointing the hand at the coming of the Jewish temple that is to be rebuilt. In fact, I'll make mention of that further in this dialogue and discussion, but in Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 46 is the blueprints that God has given for the future rebuilding of a future temple in Israel, and it shall be built on the Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rock presently stands. And so I've said for many, many years, I believe that somehow, some way, on some occasion, an Iranian Scud missile will lose its course and will wipe clean the Temple Mount and prepare the way for the Temple Mount movement, people that's in Jerusalem today. And may I simply interject this, the Temple Mount movement in Jerusalem has been looking forward to an opportunity to start the rebuilding of the temple for many years now. They already have all of the temple garments made, the priest garments made, all of the utensils and the material that will be needed in the new temple already been crafted and in waiting. In fact, they call it a temple in waiting because they have the blueprints ready to rebuild the temple. I'm told by those that are in authority on that they say that the temple can be built in less than 24 months on the Temple Mount. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of that being said is kind of a backdrop that we need to recognize that Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, is the minute hand of the prophetic clock on where God is going. And I'm sure that most of you have already heard the news that President Trump has announced that the U.S. Embassy, which is now in Tel Aviv, will be moved to the capital city, that is Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is the first president willing to take this bold stand. All of Israel's political offices and all of their other national offices are located in Jerusalem, with the exception of the United States Embassy, which is still in Tel Aviv. The U.S. Embassy has been in Tel Aviv since designated so by President Harry Truman. That was in about 1966. And however, Jerusalem has been the official capital of Israel for about 4,000 years. You go back to the one that was considered the king of Salem, and you look at the scripture in the Genesis text, and you understand that Melchizedek was the king of Salem. That's an Old Testament term for Jerusalem. And so since that time, Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel, whether the world has wanted to recognize and designate it as such or not. But I want us to recall very briefly, it's an integral part of the puzzle of what I'm wanting to communicate today, because I believe we have reached a very important doctrinal threshold, a very important prophetic threshold with what we see taking place in Israel today. It ought to be exciting for every biblical scholar, for every person studying the Word of God and seeing what God is doing. God is sovereign. And just as God moved on King Cyrus, and we'll talk about King Cyrus and Artaxerxes a little later in the broadcast, if time will allow. But in 1995, the Jerusalem Embassy Act was passed. And in that Jerusalem Embassy Act passed by Congress of the United States, it required the United States to relocate its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv, and it was designed to do so, to bring it into Jerusalem by December the 31st of 1999, and that Jerusalem would be recognized as the capital city of Israel. Well, President William Clinton did not do so. George Bush did not do so. Barack Hussein Obama did not do so. All of the previous presidents have declined to fulfill and to carry out the law of America, which was instituted as a legislative act in 1995. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it was in 2017, December of 2017, just a few months ago, President Donald Trump declared that Jerusalem will be officially designated as the capital of Israel and that we would move our embassy there. Now, as we move forward very rapidly to the current climate today, Jerusalem is making the final preparations. They're putting the ribbon ties on, if you will. They're getting the red carpet out, and they're preparing the way for the May 14th of 2018 for the opening of the U.S. Embassy officially in the capital city of Jerusalem. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that's anybody in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu and all of the Orthodox Jewish people and the rabbis that are there, they are all excited about the part that President Trump has played in this whole process. And in honor and in recognition of this bold move by President Donald J. Trump, the nation of Israel has now issued a new coin. It's a beautiful coin. I'm looking at a facsimile of it before me. It is a well-crafted, well-designed, beautifully etched coin, and it's called the Temple Tax Coin, the Temple Tax Coin. And they have created 1,000 of these to be marketed at $50 apiece for the fundraising for the future of the temple in Jerusalem, the temple tax. As you recall, back in the Old Testament study, the people had to pay a temple tax for the maintenance and the upkeep of the temple. And this temple tax coin featuring the image of the Persian king Cyrus, and side by side with the bust of King Cyrus, overlaid is the bust of President Donald J. Trump. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a little brief blurb from an article about that. Headlines: Christians and Jews now compare Donald Trump to Persian King Cyrus. Will he build the third temple? Question mark. The article goes on to say, like Cyrus 2,500 years ago, President Trump is seen as an instrument of God and the plan to build the third temple on the Temple Mount, where the El-Aqsa Mosque currently stands. Further in the article, it says, President Trump was already a hero to a wide swath of evangelicals for his effort to fight abortion, keep transgender kids out of the wrong bathrooms, and to fill the U.S. courts with diehard conservative judges. But the role he's playing in what we believe, and many believe today, is the fulfillment of divine prophecy has gotten him promoted to kings for some of them, an ancient Persian king, to be precise. The article goes on briefly. Trump is increasingly being compared by evangelicals and Jews on the religious right to the Persian king Cyrus II, also known as Cyrus the Great. The article basically concludes, who exactly was King Cyrus? The Persian conqueror lived between 529 B.C., and he goes on to tell about King Cyrus and so forth. We'll get into that more in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand the excitement that's taking place in the theological, doctrinal, biblical, conservative, prophetic, scriptural world, as well as the Orthodox Judaistic society in the nation of Israel, and with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of the nation of Israel. This group in Israel is the Temple Movement Advocates. They are looking forward to the soon coming, the soon building of the third temple. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If we understand biblical prophecy and if we rightly understand the word of God, the third temple, the millennial temple as it is called, shall be rebuilt. In fact, it will be in existence during the days of the tribulation. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. When the church is raptured out, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. He will rule the whole world with an iron fist, and there will be grave destruction and darkness and dissipation on a global basis. But the temple will be there when Jesus Christ, after the 7 years of tribulation, Jesus Christ will return, and in his valiant, visible return, he will be seated on the throne of his temple in Jerusalem. According to Zechariah chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will land on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will cleave and will cause a great valley to form and cross the Kidron Valley and enter the Eastern Gate, and through the Eastern Gate, where the Lord Jesus Christ would exit and enter during his earthly ministry, he will enter that same gate. And there's some that say that's an impossibility because that gate is closed, and it has been closed for centuries now. And today, it is walled up and closed, but outside of the gate is a Muslim cemetery, and they've done so to prevent anything from entering that gate. But when Jesus Christ returns, that gate is going to be opened, and Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will enter, and he will be seated on the third temple, the new temple that shall be rebuilt. And ladies and gentlemen, this is all coming to light as a result of the prophetic text, for example, found in Ezra chapter 1. the scripture says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? Hath God, his God, be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Then you study the balance of the book of the Ezra, and as you find in the third chapter, they start the construction of the temple. And as they start the construction of the temple in rebuilding the temple, which was led by one of those that came out of captivity, which was Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel then was the one that led in the rebuilding of what then became known as Zerubbabel's temple. He led some 50,000 Jewish people. In fact, when you study the second chapter of the book of Ezra, you find the total that is given in all of chapter 2 comes up to 49,897. So you could round that out and just call it 50,000 people, because approximately 50,000 people were released out of bondage and captivity in Babylon. They'd been there for some 70 years. They were released and allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And the first thing they wanted to do, ladies and gentlemen, was build a place of offering sacrifice before the Lord, was to build a temple. And they started the temple. They laid the foundation, got deflected from their focus, and started building their own homes. And it was years and years and years later that time passed before the completion of what was then known as Zerubbabel's temple. It was approximately 100 plus years later, according to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, that King Artaxerxes allowed Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about prophetic fact that's coming to fruition in our lifetimes. And I'm excited to see what's taking place in Jerusalem. You see, the face of the new Israeli coin features not only the bust of King Cyrus and President Donald J. Trump, but also the words inscribed around the edge, the rim of the coin. It says Cyrus, Balfour, Trump, and then Declaration 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that absolutely fascinating and intriguing to find that there. It is Balfour, and it's talking about the Balfour Declaration. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know history, you are in perhaps dilemma as to what is that preacher talking about. November the 2nd, 1917, the Balfour Declaration was written. It was on November 2nd of 1917, the Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour writes an important letter to the British, most illustrious Jewish citizen, Baron Lionel Walter Rothschild, expressing the British government's support for a Jewish homeland in Palestine. The letter would eventually become known as the Balfour Declaration. For it was on November the 2nd that Balfour sent his letter to Lord Rothschild, a prominent Zionist and a friend of Chaim Weizmann, stating that, quote, His Majesty's government view with favor, listen, the establishment in Palestine of a national homeland for the Jewish people. So, ladies and gentlemen, it was King Cyrus that issued the declaration in the text of Ezra chapter 1 and following. It was King Cyrus that determined, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't a godly man. Listen very carefully. He was a Persian king. He had no real interest in what you would call spiritual things. But God sovereignly used him to give the declaration to allow the Jewish people to go back into their homeland and to start to rebuild the temple. And ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say that God is not selective from the standpoint of, is it a spiritual person? Is it one that is super godly? Is it an individual that really loves God? God in his sovereignty selects those whom he pleases to be the designated choice to carry out the task that he's wanting to accomplish in the world and the face of the globe today. And as you recall, some of my broadcasts back when President Trump was elected in 2016, I said, ladies and gentlemen, at that time, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has divinely intervened with the divine intervention to give us Donald Trump to put us on the right track, that we again might have an opportunity, a threshold of opportunity for the United States of America to turn back to God. And that's still my position today. I believe it's God's divine intervention that's placed Donald J. Trump as president of the United States that now has shown that we are true friends of the nation of Israel. And as a result of that, he is the president that has stood up and said, we're going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel in honor, if you will, of the Word of God. Now, he perhaps did not understand all of the far-flung circumstances and the tentacles that reach out in the prophetic text of all of the Word of God. I'm not saying that at all. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that as a result of what Donald J. Trump has done, he's now has his face, if you will, the bust of Donald Trump on this coin, which will forever seal in all of prophetic history President Trump's place in what God is wanting to do with the nation of Israel. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is the timepiece that we look at if we want to know what God is doing on a global basis. We look to Israel and understand what God is doing. And so when you see the coin, on the obverse of the coin, you see the words there, Cyrus and Balfour, looking back to 1917 with the Balfour Declaration. President Donald Trump just announced that he might even more than likely would personally attend the U.S. Embassy opening in Jerusalem on May 14th, 2018. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, from May 14th, 1948 to May 14th, 2018 is how many years? 70 years. Ladies and gentlemen, after 2,500 years of being in the diaspora, that is dispersion around the globe, the nation of Israel became a nation. Israel became a nation. It's the, ladies and gentlemen, it's the only nation on the face of the globe in all of history past and history present that's ever become a nation to be reinstituted and to be regathered after being dispersed and taken down as a nation. And so I'm thankful to say today that I believe we're seeing the divine hand of God. I believe we're seeing the sovereign hand of God in what is taking place. Here's an article that I read a portion of for your edification. Title of the article is The Restoration of the Temple, Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 22. The book of Ezra begins with the decree from King Cyrus of Persia, allowing the Jews to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 B.C., Ezra 1, 2, and 4, the introduction of the decree specifies when it was proclaimed. In the first year of King Cyrus, shortly after the Persian defeat of Babylon, if you will, Cyrus made this proclamation, quote, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. And because the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus, Ezra 1:1. Cyrus was doing the work of the king, work as a king, and he was seeking his personal and institutional ends. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, King Cyrus, not being a spiritual, godly man, was simply doing what was politically correct. He was saying, in essence, I want you Jews to sponsor me, want you to vote for me, and I'm using the vernacular in that. I want you to recognize me as king, and I want you to do, so therefore I'm going to do something to appease you Jews. He did it as a political ploy, but yet God is sovereign, and we see the sovereign hand of God in that decision that King Cyrus made. Yet this article says, and I repeat it because I want us to understand it. This article says this was the result of God's working within him, advancing God's plan, advancing God's purpose with God's chosen vessel to do so. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we sense in the first verse of Ezra that God is in control, that God is sovereign. We sense that God is choosing to work through human vessels today, even as a Gentile king was used then to accomplish his will and his purpose. And so I may hastily say that I believe again that God is so chosen, so sovereignly chosen to use President Donald J. Trump. Now, listen, I'm not putting President Trump on a pedestal and saying that he is a perfect man. No, I'm not saying that he's a super godly man. King Cyrus was not. But look how King Cyrus was used by the sovereign hand of God to bring about his plan and his purpose. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching the stage being set. I believe we're watching the, if you please, the dominoes being put in place. I believe we're watching the characters come on the scene. I believe we're watching as the news comes and goes every 24-hour cycle in this old world today. We're watching the unfurling, the unfolding, the unveiling of God's plan and God's purpose for this old world. And part of that plan and purpose is for Israel to again become the center of the global attention, the center of the world's activities. And ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and it has been for over 4,000 years. It was May 14th, 1948, ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat, that Israel was birthed as a nation. And that's been 70 years since the birth of Israel. 70 years are important time frames and benchmarks in biblical chronology and in biblical history. Ladies and gentlemen, it was 586 BC for the fall of Jerusalem and Judah fell to the Babylonians. 70 years later, 516, the completion of the temple. 70 years later, 440 BC, the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching the hand of God at work. In fact, here's an article to ask a question. Will President Trump hasten the arrival of the Messiah? Jews and evangelicals think so. That's the title of the article. The article then reads, activists lobbying for the construction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem said that President Trump was playing a similar role to the Persian Emperor Cyrus the Great, who allowed the Jews to return to Israel from exile. Further, the article states, Judaism's first temple stood from around 957 BC to around 586 BC. Its second temple stood from around 515 BC to 70 AD. And you, most of folks, biblical scholars, recognize and go back to 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed, according to the biblical Hebrew history. Now, some Jews say President Donald J. Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital has paved the way for the construction of a third Jewish temple in the same place where the second temple stood and now has been destroyed. Then the article concludes, says, the Temple Mount is the elevated area above Jerusalem, the western wall that was once the site of Judaism's two temples. Ladies and gentlemen, the holiest site on the face of the globe is that which is called the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. It now is the domicile for the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Muslims' mosque. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, look up, lift up your eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture says. That Temple Mount shall be wiped clean, and God, through his sovereign purpose, will once again build a temple, and the Jewish people will worship there. And during the days of the tribulation, everybody will go, and during the days of the millennial reign, everybody nationally and internationally will go and worship Jesus. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again, even tomorrow, as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.